Hello and welcome to the Chamber podcast. And this episode is hosted by me, Henrietta Burley, Chief Exec of the Chamber of Commerce. And I'm going to be talking all things Birmingham Economic Review with a special guest, Anne Green. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Henrietta. Nice to be with you today.
Tell us a bit about you, Anne.
Well, I'm a Professor of Regional Economic Development at City Ready at the University of Birmingham. And I've been there since 2017. But before that, I've got a long history in the wider region, being in the University of Warwick and in lots of involvement in the regional economy as well as the Birmingham economy.
And at the Chamber, we're very pleased to work with you on a number of different things. But today we're talking all things Birmingham Economic Review, a publication that we've been issuing annually since at least 2016. I think we're on our eighth annual edition now. But tell us all about it. What is the Birmingham Economic Review?
Well, the purpose of the Birmingham Economic Review is really to give an in-depth exploration of the Birmingham economy. It is an annual publication, as you've outlined, so it gives us a chance to see what's happened in the last year using the most up-to-date data that we've got, which isn't all the very up-to-date to the last week or last month, but we try and make it as up-to-date as possible. And the idea is it's a resource for planning, research, and of relevance to a wide range of people who might be interested in the Birmingham economy. And we look at the strengths, the weaknesses, the challenges and the opportunities. And we've had quite a lot of challenges as well as opportunities in recent years.
Oh yes, it's been an eventful few years, hasn't it? I think each year we go, this is going to be the most eventful Birmingham Economic Review yet. And then, oh, something else happens. But something I very much enjoy about the Birmingham Economic Review is that bringing together of that academic insight, that research, that rigour, and also the views of businesses in the city. We try and bring together both perspectives and normally ends up about six chapters long, doesn't it? So it's a real sort of deep dive into the economy of Birmingham.
Yes, that's right. So there's sections on people, there's sections on innovation, and so there is really something for everyone in terms of getting a bit of an overview, but also looking in depth at particular subjects that people might be more interested in for their work.
And what would you say the key findings have been this year?
I think the key findings this year are that there are still challenges. We seem to be in this kind of poly crisis, and I think the issues that I would highlight this year are inflation and the cost of living as being some of the key challenges. And obviously that has implications for businesses and it has implications for customers as well. And then we get in the circle that the customers not having so much money impacts on businesses, etc. And so I think that's a key issue. But on the other hand, we do actually see that in the West Midlands, businesses are somewhat more optimistic than in some other regions. So it's not all doom and gloom, but nevertheless, I think that has been a key challenge, the cost of living and inflation. That's been a sort of a constant theme throughout this year.
Absolutely. I think that's one of my favourite nuggets of information on the Birmingham business community is that I think the West Midlands is consistently the most confident, whether it's the Chamber of Commerce's quarterly business report, NatWest PMI, or any other business sentiment survey. The West Midlands does seem to stand out as a really bold region that's looking ahead with confidence. I know in our last quarterly business report survey, so for Q2 2023, 65% of firms in Greater Birmingham were expecting their turnover to increase over the next 12 months, 58% expecting an increase in profitability over the next 12 months. So still, like you said, that real positivity looking ahead. Now, back on to the key issues around inflations and interest rate rises. What's the implications of that been for the city? You know, what has that translated to that we've seen in the Birmingham Economic Review?
I think what it's translated into is that people perhaps have been, their spending has been constrained. And that means it's been particularly difficult for businesses, say, in the hospitality and the retail sector. So I think they've been hard hit. I think there's also the issue about when inflation's high, people are nervous about investment, etc. And that obviously has implications going forward as well. That doesn't mean to say that there isn't investment going on, but it seems to be it can crowd out some of the other things that might be happening and businesses might like to do.
And I certainly what I hear a lot from businesses is just around capacity to plan. So there has been so much change, you know, COVID, Brexit, coming out into labour market shortages, which we'll touch on shortly, sort of the energy crisis, rising interest rates, etc. In and amongst all of that change, just having the capacity to sit down and plan ahead can be really challenging for businesses, which does, of course, then influence and impact on investment decisions moving forward. But onto that key challenge that we've seen, that sort of labour market shortages, I think it's probably even more acute last year, but it's still been an ongoing feature. Tell me a little bit about that. What have we seen in terms of labour market disruption?
I think we've seen with labour market disruption, we do still have in Birmingham somewhat higher levels of unemployment than elsewhere. But an issue we also have in Birmingham, and it's not unique to Birmingham, but it is an issue here, is high inactivity levels. And one of the issues that we have here is people suffering long-term sickness. I think in the COVID pandemic, we did have a lot of emphasis on the over 50s, some of them thinking, do I really want to work anymore? I am comfortable enough to retire. Perhaps I'll think about doing that. A few might have come back with the cost of living increases. But I think what we have seen, we have remained having quite high levels of economic inactivity for a number of reasons. And this poses challenges, obviously, for employers. Some of the more experienced people left the labour market in the COVID period. Other people have not seeking work. The issue that we have with the inactive, most of them do not look for a job. Then we have, it's just quite difficult for some employers to know where to turn to get the talent they want. And I think this is what they need to do is to, and they are doing, is look for non-conventional ways, or the ways that they've done it in the past don't necessarily work anymore. So thinking about new ways of recruiting, thinking about people that they might not have considered before. And there's also something that comes through very strongly in the research is the importance of the quality of jobs and the quality of employment that is offered. People are seeking flexibility in work, and in a tight labour market, employers need to be able to respond where they can. And obviously, for some employers, it's easier than others.
Absolutely. It's one of those interesting features of the sort of labour market in Birmingham, as we've both got that incredible strength of five universities educating about 60,000 students each year being educated at our universities in the city. So a real talent pool. And at the same time, like I say, higher than average unemployment and lower than average skills qualifications among the resident population. So you've got sort of a strength and a challenge, and that opportunity for employers to perhaps think a little bit differently about what they're looking for is huge. And I know something as a cheeky plug that we're always keen to share at the Chamber is our annual Growth Through People campaign, which supports businesses in keeping on top of best practice leadership and people management techniques, including every year we do look at that, how you can attract and retain talent and perhaps think a little bit differently about unlocking potential from perhaps non-conventional routes into work. So on to another key area for business, something that we consistently find has been sort of key in discussions with businesses, is that transition to net zero and understanding what the opportunities and challenges are ahead for the city. So what do we see in the Birmingham Economic Review there? Does that come out as a feature?
Yes, I think the net zero is an ongoing feature, and it has risen in prominence over the period that we've been doing the Birmingham Economic Review. I think at a kind of a population level, one of the things that's come out this year is very much the issue of fuel poverty and the cost of energy. I mean, there is an issue, obviously, for some of the more high energy users as businesses, that's been an issue. I think there's also, this is where we come to issues as well, like EV charging and all of that sort of an issue, whether we've got the infrastructure to help us get to net zero. So I think there are some of the issues that come through. But I know you at the Chamber are also working on this, aren't you, Henrietta?
Oh, we absolutely are. Thank you for the excellent segue there. We are indeed. So we are currently, at the time of recording, partway through our Sustainable Business Series. So every year we look to support businesses and a bit of peer learning and expert advice on that transition to net zero. Everything from the essentials of how you can cut your energy costs through investing in key areas, through to understanding what the transition means for key industries and the opportunities and challenges ahead. So those listening, if that sounds like something of interest, you're thinking, yeah, I could do with a bit more insight on this agenda, do check out the events available on the Chamber website. And certainly that sort of transition to net zero, I know one of the challenges we hear from businesses is perhaps some of the instability in government policy in that space and the need for that real clarity and consistency of what the direction of travel is from the UK government. So while it's not going to be something the Birmingham Economic Review can fix, hopefully that will be something we can report on in future years, that we do finally get that stability after a bit of chopping and changing in policy in recent weeks. Of course, another opportunity for the region is the ongoing devolution agenda. And earlier this year, the West Midlands Combined Authority negotiated a deeper devolution deal. Try saying that three times fast. But what does that actually mean for the region? You know, what is that opportunity that that represents?
I think what it represents is the opportunity to make strategic policy more relevant to the West Midlands as a whole and to the parts of the West Midlands. It offers an opportunity for more localisation, to actually make policy and do more that is of particular relevance to the region and think about the particular challenges and the particular opportunities that we face and to craft policy to address that. I think in a way that isn't necessarily always possible when policy is more centralised, and also to have more funding that isn't kind of cut into little pots. So hopefully also an opportunity to do joined up working.
Absolutely. I always have so much sympathy for folks who work in the public sector on some of that elements of the way funding works in the UK. You have lots of individual little bids for individual pots of funding that actually make it quite hard to be strategic and joined up. Whereas some of that single pot funding that's coming through that deeper devolution deal, like I say, huge opportunity to actually be strategic in how it's spent and join it up across the agenda for the West Midlands Combined Authority. Next topic is around how adaptable and resilient Birmingham is. So as a city, we've been through quite a bit. We're currently going through quite a bit. You know, at the time of recording, it's only a few weeks on from Birmingham issuing its Section 114 notice. There is a lot of debate about the future of HS2 in the press at the time of recording. Moving on from Birmingham up to Manchester. But how adaptive and resilient is Birmingham as an economy from your perspective?
I think over time it has proved its resilience. If we take the long-term view, which is, I think, something that we need to consider, particularly at this time, as you've outlined, I think it has proved resilient. I think we don't need to get fixated on every little change day to day, but think about some of the fundamentals that we've got there. Birmingham does remain a central city within the UK. It is the second city within the country. It is well connected. It has strong sectors. It has a strong medical and healthcare sector. It has a strong professional business and financial services sector. It's strong on digital sector, creative sector. So a lot of those things remain there. And I think the fact that it does have some very good higher education, further education institutions also bears well and bodes well for the future. I think what we need to be thinking about at this time of somewhat turbulence is really that partnership working between the people like the chambers, businesses, universities, colleges, businesses, etc., going forward. That is what's crucial. So that really for Team Birmingham, we're working together. And I think with that, we do have the strong fundamentals. And I think if we look back just over a year from now, I really enjoyed the Commonwealth Games and I really felt that buzz. And that, you know, that could happen again. It might not feel like it just this month, but it was there. It doesn't mean to say it's all disappeared forever.
Absolutely. I feel like Birmingham is so much more than its local authority or HS2. The city is just incredible. And I've seen it over the however many years I've been in Birmingham now, since 2009. It felt like there wasn't that much change happening year by year. But all of a sudden you look back and the city is transformed, whether it's the sort of physical realm around the city centre, whether it's the whole sort of hospitality scene, what's happening down in Digbeth, out in the Jewellery Quarter and beyond. That has changed radically over that decade. And like you say, regardless of what's happening, we're still one of the fastest growing regional economies in the UK. We had record visitor numbers last year. There's lots of exciting things ahead for the city. So keeping that partnership working going, tapping into those stakeholders and making sure we keep working together towards it, absolutely critical. Which does bring me to that final question. You know, how important is it that Birmingham capitalises on regional opportunities available? And what would your sort of final message on that be to our listeners?
I think it is important that we capitalise on opportunities and to keep that in focus and to keep it in focus for the medium and longer term. I think that is what I would kind of like to say is let's have some strategic alignment between actors to keep those long-term objectives together. Birmingham does still have a lot going for it and it makes sense to capitalise on it. It's a benefit to Birmingham, it's a benefit to the West Midlands and it's of benefit to the country as a whole.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Keep the confidence up, whatever comes, because there's so many fundamental strengths here. There are serious opportunities ahead if we can join up, be strategic and make the most of them. Right, that brings me to the end of my questions for today. So thank you very much for joining me, Anne. And if those listening have enjoyed a bit of this conversation, picking up some of the insight on what the latest developments for Birmingham and its economy are, please do remember to check out the Birmingham Economic Review, available at the Chamber's website, www.greaterbirminghamchambers.com.